Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. We've sort of been all over the place here today.
A little bit.
You know, we've got, thankfully, Bill Belichick assuring us that no one died in the game on Sunday.
What a relief.
You know, until the actual report came out, you couldn't be too sure.
No, you had no idea. So, usually you got to wait till Wednesday for the injury report.
No, it's not the injury report. No. It's the practice participation report.
Slash injury.
Slash death report.
Yeah, so you never know. They'd have to report that.
We found out that Steph Curry and his friends like to get toked up till they're...
I mean, that's what it sounds like.
Full-blown bozo in a hotel room talking about...
I'm not suggesting they're breaking any rules, Dale. It just sounded perhaps like that.
The only thing missing was...
Yeah, just hearing like the bong rips. Like, didn't hear any of that. Those guys were having a good time, though. That's a very successful podcast. We talk about Kimbrel, we talk about Sale. We had a whole bunch of stuff to get to today. William McGinnis.
Who was fighting it? Much like you, he probably had his hood up, too.
Yeah, who's more sick, me or him? He did not sound great.
He probably had his hood up, and he was talking. Yeah. That's why the phone got muffled a couple of times.
Maybe.
It was up against the hood.
Maybe just a little bit.
Nobody does the hood with headphones over the hood quite like you do.
Thank you.
As Lucy pointed out on Twitter when she posted a photo of you.
Yep. Kind of creepy, but fine.
Do you think?
Yeah.
So let's get back to the calls. 617-779-7937. Let's go to... this is going to be a mistake.
What's the matter with you?
I'm going to do it anyway.
Go to the horn here.
Jerome's in Scituate. Hey, Jerome.
Jerome, what's happening?
Hey, Dale and Rich, listen. You won't believe this one.
All right.
This is like a trip on the Wayback Machine.
Love it.
Okay, Dale, you may remember this. It was so eerie. Do you remember in 1981?
Holy smokes.
The Miami Dolphins pulled the same trick, not exactly, against the Chargers with Tony Nathan. Do you remember that? It was overtime?
I have no idea what we're talking about.
Is there when Ray Finkel missed the kick?
No. It was the hook and ladder.
Oh.
The old hook and ladder. Why didn't you just say so?
Yeah.
That would have helped.
Listen, I bumped into Mr. Perry, your old coach. But listen, the other thing I have.
Huh?
Is
my high school football coach?
Yeah.
Oh,
I bumped into him.
Coach Perry.
But listen.
Good guy.
Like Coach Robidoux?
No, I liked him. He liked me. Okay. There's a difference. Yeah.
Different. Listen, the other one, okay, if Brady doesn't want to put it in the air, right, and I'm not knocking Belichick. He's the most prepared coach in the league. If you know you're not going to throw, or at least you're not going to move around, why couldn't you have Edelman do a rollout? If the guy's definitely open, you throw. You only do it if it's 100%. If not, he's pretty damn hard to tackle, right, Edelman?
Yeah, but you can't risk it. You can't, I mean, unless you're throwing to him in the end zone. In that spot, you can't go short because then the exact same thing happens. It's just like taking a sack.
No, you
that's
have
a classic
to throw it
in the end zone
or
nothing.
Bounds.
And that's why some people love the little fade. Some people hate it, like the goal line fade. So if you have Gronk or Josh Gordon, if you want to do that, maybe that makes a little bit more sense because, you know, you trust those guys to either catch it or make sure that it doesn't get picked off, and then you can kick the field goal. But, yeah, that what happened there was the worst thing that could have happened. I mean, they came away with 0 points.
I think Jerome was referring to Dolphins-Chargers playoffs 81.
That's what he said.
But it was kind of hard to tell because he neglected to tell the whole part about the hook and ladder play.
Until the end
which
there.
We saw twice on Sunday.
Did it, was the 81 one similar? It could have been similar to the
I don't know.
The, what we just saw. That thing was crazy. Because like one, like an actual hook and ladder, you'll see it, right? I mean, the Steelers just ran it. It was great. You know, Boise State ran all those trick plays. But this one is a little bit different. Like, they're calling it desperado. You call it a jailbreak for all you want because that one is not catch it, pitch. That guy takes it for as many yards. It was catch it, pitch it to this guy, dance with it for a minute, pitch it to this guy. And then Drake would have kept pitching it had somebody stopped him. But as Trey Flowers said, it was like basketball. Nobody stopped the ball. Everybody was guarding the passing lanes. And then Drake just found his way in the end zone.
Marshall's on the cell phone. Hey, Marshall.
Hi.
Hi.
I just had a question. I had a quick question on the game last night.
All right.
Maybe I overthink things.
Ooh.
Late in the fourth quarter, the score was 6-0. Seattle was on their own 1-yard line. It was fourth down. They kicked from their 1-yard line. Minnesota got the ball around the 40, 42-yard line. Fabulous field position. Why would Seattle take a safety, make the score 6-2, and then get a free kick from their own 20-yard line?
I'm assuming that because then a touchdown puts the other team ahead.
Touchdown beats them anyway.
No, but I think their defense was so good, they probably were going to take the chance. They didn't want to give them any points. I mean, they only scored 7 in the game, and like you said, at that point, they hadn't scored any. So they probably said, you know what, give them the ball at the 40. They still aren't going to score. I think Minnesota only had the ball inside of the 50 twice, like all night. They were horrible. So they'd probably just take their chances anywhere.
Well, I tell you, because a field goal doesn't do them any good. If you would be 6-5. Touchdown, they're going to lose the game anyway. So why give them a position where they're on the 40-yard line instead of back at their own 35?
Yeah, but...
I mean, that's a huge difference.
But are you talking about the third quarter?
I'm talking the fourth quarter. It was 6-0 at this time.
Oh, the 6-0 one. Yeah, I mean, I actually, watching it, thought, you know, maybe I wonder if this is something that Belichick would have done. But the defense was so good. Like, I think it's not just that they were up 6. They were up 6 zip. Like, Minnesota couldn't do anything. So why give them points and then give them the ball? And I understand the whole field goal doesn't beat you. They need to score a touchdown. But just they probably felt fine defending them at the 40. Like, they weren't going to score.
Wasn't Diassi the snapper in Denver? The intentional safety that went off the crossbar? I think Diassi was the snapper for that one. Belichick called for the intentional safety.
No. You think it was really? I remember that play, but that, what do you mean?
Somehow, it probably
it couldn't have been.
I forget who it was.
No, because that was much more recent that happened, right? Well, that might have been like Lonnie Paxton or something.
Yeah, probably, but it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Dan's in Greenfield. Hey, Dan.
Yeah. I was thinking, I figured out who Desperado is.
Oh, good.
That's a guy they didn't play in the Super Bowl last year, and they lost that too.
Wow, why didn't they play him?
That's a good one.
Oh,
why didn't they put Buckner in on this game, and what happened? Whatever, but all they had to push him in is out of bounds. I think.
Hold on, Dan. Let me just circle back to the beginning here. You think that Malcolm Butler's name is Desperado?
Well. He said Desperado. He said, I mean, Super Bowl before.
Uh-huh. So you're comparing the two games? So the play is called Desperado, but you think they were referring to Malcolm Butler? Dan?
They don't have Desperado anymore. They got rid of him. Yeah.
No, that was the play that the Dolphins ran.
No, he said it was Malcolm Butler.
Is he gone?
Do you think?
So, you hung up.
No, that was me.
On poor Tony.
I did this one.
But honestly, I was making a move.
What was that guy?
He was awful. I was at least getting Desperado in to at least make it something that people could listen to for a second.
Where was he going, that guy? You have any idea?
I think
he tried making three jokes.
Funny.
He also brought up Bill Buckner for some reason. That guy's just playing all the hits. He's like, yeah, Buckner played in the game. It's been an interesting day on the telephones, I would say. That guy was probably calling from a bag phone.
Are we calling out Lucy on this?
I mean, she can only do so much. I don't know. I don't blame her.
We'll throw it right under the bus.
You want to blame her?
No.
I mean, it's been fine. It's up to us.
Good job, Lucy.
Yeah.
You can blame me. That's fine.
Yeah.
The guy with the big, deep voice?
He's back.
No.
You don't want to go to him?
No, we're good.
There?
He said he got disconnected. No.
Yeah, he did.
You're kidding
he
me.
He did, by Rossi. It was a mistake.
I don't think it was. I think it was probably, never mind. Woody's up in Maine. Hey, Woody.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
What's going on?
You're probably going to blame Lucy for this call, too, but...
Never.
What was the one thing that was missing?
Attack.
Final play.
A tackle.
No.
Devin McCourty.
No.
The band,
yes. The band, marching band.
You knew where this guy was going with this?
Yeah.
He warned us that it was going to be terrible.
I told you. All right.
Thanks.
What the hell?
I'm absolutely blaming Lucy for that one.
No, but honestly... Like, it's not the best joke in the world, but the band on the field play, like, just I could watch that a million times. Like, that is the craziest thing. Now, what's another huge difference between the Stanford-Cal band on the field play
right.
and that play? That was a kickoff. So they were kicking off. They tried the old, hey, well, I'll smart them with the old squib kick. So, like, let's not kick it all the way back to the end. You're like, all right, fine. And then all the crazy laterals on that play, and then taking out the idiot with the trombone at the end. Like, amazing. That was an amazing play. But that was the kickoff. A lot of people bring up the Music City Miracle, also an incredible play, also a kickoff. This was different. This is, because we've also seen Hail Marys completed. So this is like another department where you're like, it's too far for a Hail Mary, but the defense is playing it almost like a Hail Mary, and now you got to make a tackle. It was crazy.
Mark's in New Hampshire. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. What's going on? I was just going to add that I was actually at the Orange Bowl January 2nd, 1982, when the Dolphins played the Chargers.
That's weird.
Yeah, unfortunately,
what is that?
Mark.
Windstorm or something. Really popped in the old headphones. I don't know if it was bad in cars.
See, I think
but
that's your head right now.
Maybe.
You're a little congested
I'm fighting it. Fighting through here.
Yeah, it's not, Mark, it wasn't the fact that you were going to tell us a story that we didn't care about. It was just
the
phone.
What it is you're being mean. You're being mean to these people, which I don't care for. We've had a lot of good calls today. We've had some maybe not as strong as others, but we don't need to rank them. It's not what it's about. But good contributions today.
Everybody gets a participation
from the listener.
Trophy
yeah,
today.
I think so. Everybody should.
Everybody's part
yeah,
of this.
Yeah, it's important.
This whole thing. Paul's in Westfield. Hey, Paul.
Good morning, gentlemen. Dale, how are you?
Fine, thank you. It's afternoon, but good. I'm doing fine, thanks.
I'm glad your phone system is working better. The poor MFers and the poor Glenn could not hear any counterpoint, so everyone got enough of yesterday.
Did they have problems yesterday?
Oh, boy.
Oh, geez, you know, I'm waiting for Taylor, but I'm going to tell you something real quick. You put this on a scale. It's called the triple beam. On one side of the scale, we have a trick play. Never worked in the modern since we converted to football. Never happened to the Patriots. On the other side is a record game for Gronk, 108 yards, looked good. Tom looked like a laser with them passes, everyone noticed. To almost 360 yards, not too bad. I had all the players involved. And then we have the fluke play at the end. And for Miami, they played a hell of a game. There was 8 lead changes. That was a heck of a game that got goofed up. And one crummy play, it's never happened. So I'm going to put my weight on the fact that we looked a lot better, not a play that's never happened.
You think what about on the road? I think the road problems are still there.
Absolutely. And again, remember, I went through this. I wrestled. We were the state champs. Every time we went on the road, they got so crazy and so gooned up because the champ is here.
Right.
And
oh, yeah. You've heard that.
Look what Jacksonville did to us. Look what happened to them. Look what Detroit did. Didn't punt to the third quarter.
Did you ever have to do any crazy weight cutting techniques?
Yeah, I used to put on 3 shirts, 2 rubber suits. I'd walk out of practice at 114, and I'd drink and weigh back in at 120. So I'd lose 7 pounds in 3 hours and drink it all on, and then go twist people in half.
Sounds healthy.
You're 114 pounds?
No, I'd be 121 at practice the day before weigh-ins. I'd sweat it out, we eat popcorn for dinner, weigh in at 114, and mutilate the opposition.
Oh. It's just cutthroat. Absolutely. What a savage. Good job, man. That is...
Oh, yeah, nothing better than good weight-cutting stories.
You like that? You go on the old...
Kids,
if
you're listening on the drive home with your folks from school, we don't advocate that.
You go three... You have to, though, in high school.
No,
you have
don't
to.
Do
go,
that.
You go sweatsuit on top of sweatsuit on top of sweatsuit, trash bag. Then you go... Trash you get bag. One of those stationary bikes. You put that bad boy in a sauna, and then you just get to work. We had kids. Our team was nuts.
You did?
No, God, no. I wouldn't play. I didn't wrestle. Those guys were lunatics. Those guys were lunatics. I remember playing high school basketball. Our court was next to the court was like the wrestling room, and so we'd be at practice, and you'd see kids the first week of wrestling just spilling out of the wrestling room, throwing up into trash cans, throwing up into our bubblers. I'm like, can we get the wrestlers away from us, please? Like, they're all losing their minds, and they would have to cut weight like whatever. Which I thought was very unsafe. Like just basketball, you're all set. Basketball, hockey, weigh whatever you want. You're gonna be fine. These wrestlers, lunatics.
They are a little nuts.
Lunatics.
617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
It's middays with Dale and Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
That's a thing again for Celtics fans. They really want to see player. Anthony Davis.
He's
in
a pretty
Celtics
nice
uniform.
Player.
That's not why they're doing it.
They
think they can convince him that this is the place he wants to play.
He's already said he wants to play in Boston.
Look, he's a great player. And as I watched the game last night, I couldn't help but imagine what it would be like with him in a Celtics uniform.
Oh, my God.
But the whole idea of the fans, you know, cheering wildly for an opposing player to somehow convince him that
this
is where you want to go.
Can't hurt, can it? Why not? Give it a shot. Worked with Gordon Hayward, didn't it?
I think he was coming here either way.
Maybe. Maybe that was what broke the tie. He's like, I really like Utah, but, those guys, they cheered for me that one time I went there. That could be it. Celtics, though, as predicted right here on this show, are on a bit of a winning streak. They've won 6 in a row. There's no losses in sight with Washington, Atlanta, Detroit, Phoenix all ahead. So they should win 10 games in a row going into Milwaukee. Last night was pretty crazy, though, because you're facing off against Anthony Davis. Not the greatest team in the world. They're really good at home. They're not a great team overall, I wouldn't say, but a great player. The Celtics had nobody. Everybody. They looked like the Bruins. There was nobody out there. Kyrie was out. Hayward was out. Horford was out. Baines was out. Even Yabusele was out.
Oh, no.
And yet they still go out there. They take care of business. They get another win. The offense has been really good. They have scored over 100 points in all these games in the winning streak. Not only 100 points. I think 113 last night is the fewest points they scored during the winning streak. So they have they tied the season high with 128. Then against the Bulls, where they spanked them around, they scored 133. So they look good. They're finally starting to figure things out. They're 6 games over 500. So this is much more, even though last night I know a lot of the guys didn't play, but this is much more the Celtics team that we expected, you know, once you saw what the roster was going into the season.
It'd be nice to see the whole roster, but they were...
It would be.
It was an impressive win, given what they had to deal with last
year. Well, and it's funny, in the Celtics under Brad Stevens, it seems like when he's missing a guy or two, he's almost better off in a weird way. Like, you go back to Charles Barkley talking about how they have too much talent.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that sounds ridiculous. But then when you actually have to put all the pieces together, you can understand what he meant by that. And some of their better games, you know, Jaylen Brown was out. Or I wouldn't say last night was one of their better games, but they were missing so many guys and they're still able to get it done. Now, the last two on this win streak prior to last night, I believe Chicago and New York, they had their whole squad. But when they started the winning streak, New Orleans, Cleveland, Minnesota, they were missing Jaylen Brown for those games. And everybody else seemed to play a little bit better because there was more shots available and things like that. So that still needs to get figured out consistently.
And obviously, when they get healthier, they'll be even better. But after, you know, kind of stubbing their toe for a little bit there, they have kind of figured things out. Their defensive intensity seems to be better. They look like one of the best teams in the East again, which is what we thought they were going to be all along.
Right.
Oh, boy.
You all right?
Nope. Finally got me.
I'll just sit here and listen to you cough.
Or you can take a
call. As opposed to, like, maybe talking and doing that instead. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Chuck's in Rhode Island. Hey, Chuck, how you doing?
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
What's going on?
I was one of about 250 people on 5 buses that got together at a bar in Lauderdale by the Sea on Sunday to go to the Pats game. And on the way there, everyone's laughing, talking, singing songs, drinking beer, you know, the typical stuff. And, of course, we all witnessed that devastating last play of the game.
Was the bus ride back not as much fun?
It wasn't, and everyone was in a state of total depression. You could hear a pin drop, and everyone's agonizing. But one guy came out with a great line, which brought a laugh to a lot of people, a smile to their face. He said, hey, it's Florida. Maybe they'll have a recount.
Nice.
That was good.
It's political humor.
Topical.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good.
But it was a really incredible experience. I'd say probably one of 4 fans in the stadium were all Pats fans. It was amazing how many Pats fans were there.
The December games in Miami are always very heavily populated by Patriots fans. An opportunity to get in the warm weather for a couple of days. It's always a huge Patriots presence for those games.
And they see them lose. More often than not.
Seems to work out that way, doesn't it?
I mean, 1-5 in the last 6 games down in Miami seems made up. It doesn't seem like the Patriots could have that kind of record in any stadium. And the weird thing is, Miami's not even that good of a team. Like, I don't think they're going to be a playoff team this year. They're 7-6 right now, but so are a whole bunch of teams.
Yeah.
And so the Patriots could be in a weird situation where every one of their losses could be to non-playoff teams. Like, who would have thought that? And they could beat a bunch of playoffs. Like, Houston will be in the playoffs. They already beat them. Kansas City, Chicago. I don't know about Minnesota after that last game, but the Colts.
They are falling apart.
They look awful. They just fired their offensive coordinator today. But they've beaten a lot of good teams. They've lost to a bunch of, I would say Tennessee and Miami are average, and then Detroit and Jacksonville are bad. So it's been kind of a weird year for them. You know, the teams that they're supposed to beat, they really haven't.
Joe's in New Bedford. Hey, Joe.
How's it going, fellas?
How are you?
I'm okay. My question is really about the defense. I haven't heard anybody talk about it all season long, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the Patriots' defensive coordinator is not, in fact, a defensive coordinator at all.
Well, he is. He just doesn't have the title. No, he is. He doesn't have the title.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's acting, but was he a defensive coordinator prior to this year?
No.
Or was he exactly. So if he doesn't have the title, and he's never been one.
But see, but that's the way Belichick always does
it. They do with Patricia. They do it with Josh McDaniels, Bill O'Brien.
They do it for a year without the title.
So I guess I get that. But what I'm leading up to is, do you think that has anything to do at all with the fluctuating performance of the defense? I mean, it's so inconsistent. If you're right, Dale, if they're not going to make it to the Super Bowl, it's going to be for that reason and that reason only. Because the defense, it's like flipping a coin.
Well, the defense has certainly had issues. Now, they had climbed, after the Minnesota game, they had climbed into the top 10 in the NFL in points allowed per game. And you thought, and I thought the Minnesota game, they looked really good. And you think, okay, you know, they'll figure this out. And then they go out and cough up a fur ball in Miami.
But I'm also not convinced that the offense is going to be great in the playoffs. Like,
no.
He's saying the reason why they don't get to the Super Bowl would be because of the defense. I don't know. The offense has struggled. If they need to pick up a third and one, like, how confident are you there? Like, their short yardage running game is pretty bad. Their offense has had more good games than bad, but doesn't mean they're not capable of getting stopped by a pretty good defense.
Chuck's in Plymouth. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, guys. I appreciate you taking the call. I know with Lee Smith going in the hall, and I've seen a bunch of people talking about this, and I want to bring it up, and that is how Pete Rose does not belong in the Hall of Fame. And the reason why he doesn't belong in, and here's my point, and a lot of people talk about steroids, is the fact that when he was a manager of the Reds, and it's written in every clubhouse, do not bet on the game of baseball or you'll be kicked out for life. The fact that, let's say he chose his team. His
Pete Rose bet on the games?
Yes. Yeah. So let's say his team is up 5-3 in the eighth.
Okay.
And he chooses not to bring in his best setup man and his best closer.
Yeah.
And the next day, he rests them. And he puts a lot of money, bets the house on his team to win.
Is this show on 15-year delay?
What is happening right now? Why are you debating
Chuck,
Rose?
Who has even talked about Pete Rose?
We haven't even brought him up. Hello?
That's good.
That might be the creme de la creme.
Calls on 15-year delay.
That was Pete Rose? I feel like a group of people have gotten together today and decided to mess with us. That can be the only way to determine all these callers that we've gotten. It's just been one after the other.
All in one
Pete
day.
Pete Rose? What was that for? We mentioned the Harold Baines, Lee Smith thing yesterday. We didn't even get to it yet today. And he's bringing up Pete Rose. And then he's going on and on about why betting is bad. Like, okay, all right, fine. Shouldn't have bet on games. We got it. That was ridiculous.
I don't know. And well, he's talked to a lot of people who were talking about this Pete Rose thing.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess. You had a pretty good convincing case there.
You mentioned the Celtics and their impressive win last night with, you know, half the roster missing.
Mm-hmm.
Bruins are back on the Garden ice tonight, as you said, during the award-winning Trending Now.
Thank you, Dale.
Tuukka Rask will play in goal, and they won't get anybody else back.
No DeBrusque, right?
No, he's still out. Now, here's the thing. What Bruce Cassidy said today, out of the blue, was that Zdeno Chara and Patrice Bergeron have been skating on their own for a little while now. Mm. And there's no timetable for their return, but the fact that they're both out there skating, apparently when the media is not around. But Bruce said they've actually been, you know, out on the ice. I thought the best case scenario for both was that they'd be ready to go with the Winter Classic at Notre Dame.
Right, right.
And that's maybe even still in the running.
Yeah, if they can just keep treading water until then.
Today.
Yeah, true.
So the Winter Classic is 3 weeks from today.
Yeah. And it looked like it was going the wrong way until the weekend. You know, things started to go, like, it was slipping away from them. At least I felt that way. And then they get back-to-back wins, and you can sort of breathe a little bit easier.
Play Arizona tonight. Then they're off for a couple of days, and then they play three games in four nights again over the weekend, beginning Friday in Pittsburgh. The schedule for them has just been brutal, and it's been brutal at a time when they've got, you know, a bunch of guys missing. They're now down to three guys missing. Important. I'm not counting DeBrusque because I don't think he's long term.
Okay.
But long term guys missing: Chara, Bergeron, and Kevin Miller. Miller's going to be a while. I mean, you're not going to see him till, you know, well into January, I believe.
What have you thought about McAvoy since he's been back?
A lot better than I expected.
Really?
Yeah. I thought it was going to take him a little while to kind of get the.
I mean, the first game wheels. He definitely had issues.
Yeah, but I mean, the games over the weekend, he looked great again. And, you know, he was flying around. Yeah. I thought it was going to take him a little while to get back into game condition.
Because then when he got hit, too, I was like, oh, my God. Like, he got crushed.
Zach Hyman got suspended for two games for that and should have been.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Total, complete cheap shot. And what else you got, which does not include many of the callers on today's program?
They might. You never know. They could find a way in there.
I kind of know. Sure. Wait till Friday. Oh, no, we're not doing Week in Review this Friday.
No, we're not.
We might have to work it in Thursday.
We could.
We've got some stuff full right here.
We could.
What else you got's coming up next? Sports Radio, WEEI.
Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
All right, a couple of things that we didn't get to throughout the course of the program.
What else you got?
I'll start for you.
All right, Dale, what do you got?
Rob Bradford, who was covering the baseball winter meetings, had this tweet a little while ago. Eduardo Rodriguez is here at the winter meetings. You're going to love this next part, Keith.
Okay.
He's competing in the Major League Baseball Players Fortnite Championship.
Oh, is he that good, huh?
It may be the biggest news of the week, says Bradford. So the MLB players have they go to Vegas
to
stage the Fortnite Championship.
No David Price? You know who they said was the best Fortnite player?
Ivaldi supposedly was really good, right?
Well, I don't know if you want to call him on the roster or not, but Carson Smith.
Carson Smith. I don't think that counts anymore. No.
Yeah.
Unaffiliated? He'd have to go, you know, not wearing his Red Sox jersey.
Free agent Carson Smith, maybe?
So Eduardo Rodriguez is competing in the MLB Players Fortnite Championship. Now, if they have a Red Dead 2
championship, I couldn't compete. Not with my idiot horse. There's no way I could compete.
There are so many... So many fake Twitter accounts
out there about
not Bojack.
I know, Ghost of Bojack.
And I was joking earlier, you know, the Bill Belichick line about, you know, nobody died.
Somebody did.
Ghost of Bojack's is a good joke, Dale.
Yeah,
what can I tell you?
No, it still stings.
What else you got?
Well, how about this? We just took a call out of nowhere about Pete Rose because people are getting all hot and bothered about the Baseball Hall of Fame. Not the BBWAA, but this other committee, they voted in Harold Baines and Lee Smith. So those guys are now members of the Baseball Hall of Fame. So that has gotten, well, some questions and comments and theories down at our sister station, WFAN. Mike Francesa had a caller who was hopeful that somebody else might get their just due.
I'm wondering if maybe a silver lining is some other guys that should be in the Hall of Fame maybe get reconsidered.
Like who?
Like Jim McCormick.
Well, I mean, what year is Jim McCormick?
Well, he played in the 1870s.
Yeah, you gotta stop. No, stop, Dan. I mean, tell me about did you watch him play? Tell me what kind of player was he?
Well, his numbers are really good.
Stop with the 1800 guys. I mean, give me a break, huh?
I'm kind of with him on that.
You don't like those guys? Why not?
The 1800s.
They deserve to be in there as much as anybody does.
Yeah. Talking
So Jim McCormick,
you looked him up, did you?
Yeah, of course I did. He had a beautiful mustache, first of all. He was from the United Kingdom. He pitched in, I believe, what they call the dead ball era from 1878 to 1887. Played for a bunch of different clubs.
Take a piece of hide off the dead, not Bojack.
Yeah.
Make it into a ball and use it.
Dale, he won one year. 1880 was the year. He was 23, so really his prime year. He made 74 starts He completed 72 of those games. He threw 657 and two-thirds innings. ERA, 1.85. Through the roof that year. He had 45 wins. He led the majors that year. 45 wins. He played for the Cleveland Blues, of course, that season. But he had a really nice run. He led the league in ERA twice. He led the league in innings pitched twice. I think he should be in. I think this guy brought up a pretty good point. 2.43 career ERA for Jim McCormick. He was a pitcher.
He's as bad as the callers right now.
Two-time ERA title.
Do you think
beautiful mustache, almost Raleigh Fingers before Raleigh Fingers?
Well, I think everyone had one back then, including a lot of the women.
So different. It was kind of a cheap shot there for the ladies.
Just, well, is it possible that this guy just went through his going through his baseball encyclopedia?
Yeah.
And tried to come up with a name that would just push Francesa over the edge.
Jim McCormick's a good one. I think he actually has a pretty good case if we're looking at it just from the outside.
He'd have a better case than Harold Baines. I'll put it to you
that way. I would agree with that 100%.
He should be in before Harold Baines is in, but I'm not sure who's going to take up his case.
466 complete games on this guy's career.
In a four-year career.
That's incredible.
He was burned out.
Incredible.
He couldn't tie his shoes after that.
No, he probably can't lift his arm, but that's fine.
All right, we got to get out of here. OMF is coming up right after the top of the hour. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by.